Artist John Wolseley is an extraordinary man and a maker of exquisite, beautiful and grounded art. Now, his current exhibition at the Australian Gallery is The Life of Inland Waters. Now, it showcases paintings, sculptures, prints, an extension, a distillation of a long period over the last 5 years spent in Arnhem Land. Tim Entwistle went the day of the opening. He's such a first night Johnny, to talk to John, where he found, among other things, his inner beetle at last.
I'm at Australian Galleries in Collingwood, in inner Melbourne. And I'm at the opening, or in fact just before the opening, of a brand new exhibition here called The Life of Inland Waters. Now, the artist who's responsible for most of this work is John Wolseley. Now, I just heard somebody wander out who said he was a quaint, unique, and a national treasure. John, hello.
Hello, Tim. Now, I don't know about the national treasure bit.
Well, I've seen yourself described as a combination or a hybrid between an artist and a scientist, so people do like to sort of invent names for you.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I always quote one of those French artists who said that art is science made visible. L'art est science... No, I won't do my French on you, but what I find so exciting is that, as in this exhibition, we've got the life cycles of insects made visible in the art, and I can show you that.
Well, before you do that, maybe a bit of background. So I've walked through some very large paintings, and I've come into a room now with some paintings which have lots of lines and, well, I was going to say sort of scribbles, or a bit like a scribbly gum almost.
You're absolutely right. Those wonderful markings and engravings in a scribbly gum are actually made by the larvae of a moth, aren't they? And a large number of these paintings are the engravings made by different beetles that have made these marks under the bark. And I take my wonderful Gampi Japanese paper and I do rubbings. Now, the rubbings, we artists have got all these pompous names, but a rubbing is what's called a frottage. So we put the paper over the bark, the actual tree under the bark, and we rub with a piece of graphite, and miraculously, the whole life cycle of this beetle larvae emerges on the paper. But not only that, 30 of them.
Let's just have a look at a couple on the wall here. They're coloured and black and white, but this is you collaborating with the beetle, or with what the beetle has done.
It's that's
own.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And also here we have a shipworm larvae.
So describe that to me.
Now, this one here, you can see that this idiot artist has has put some paper on his doorstep, which came off an old ship, which had been engraved and tunneled through by the shipworms. And do you see, you can see here, these wiggly things, that's where they have tunneled
through.
So
these are fat worm-like structures, and some of them are just single circles, so there's dots as well. Is that where they're heading away from us?
Exactly right. All coming towards you.
Right, okay. But they're no longer there. This is you mapping out where they've been.
That's right. And in some, like this one here, you see there's this extraordinary thing, like exploding spaghetti, and then each of the beetles goes charging off, eating its way through the wood. And what I've done in several of these paintings, now this one here, I've shown how at a certain stage it's got big and fat, and it's got to where it's going to hatch out, and it turns into a chrysalis, into a pupae. And then it hatches out and flies off into the forest. This is actually near my studio, and whizzes around, and then starts the whole process again.
So you've got the sort of spirals that fan out, a bit feathery at the edges. And now the colour, the national treasure or idiot artist, as you call him, did the colour?
Well, my wife, Jenny, says that she thinks I must have... had some grained foreign substances to make that colour, but a lot of them...
Which is a kind of an aqua greeny sort of colour. Is that the one you mean?
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's right. Where the ones which are proper frottages... mostly in graphite.
Let's go and find one.
Oh, here we are, up at the top there. And this one's called Ironbark Coleoptera, and that's done by a particular rare beetle, which goes underneath the wonderful ironbarks that we have in the box ironbark forest.
This one at the top here, just so in this case you've got the beetle and you've also sketched the plant itself on top of it afterwards, or how does that work?
Now, this one actually is a woodcut done on hewn pine, and there's a lot of woodcuts in this show. And the rest of the show is about the edible plants, mostly, that live in East Arnhem Land, and especially around Blue Mud Bay, that I was taught about and instructed by Mulkan Wapanda, the great Yongu artist. And for the last 5 years, I have done my Western kind of paintings of all these plants. She has done 130 of the most important and wonderful bark paintings ever done about plants. And the reason she's done it is it's the same reason I suspect that you've got your wonderful bit in the botanical gardens with the European edible things. She's done it because she sometimes says, I'm living in the middle of a supermarket, there we are, on the edge of a floodplain, and with all these amazing yams and tubers and fruits of all kinds. And so she, in this exhibition, I've actually got some of her paintings to show respect to her and to show how she made much better art than me. And so this, what we're looking at now is one of my versions. I think you like this as a botanist. One of my versions of a funny little known tuber which was washing in Gangang in a billabong. And I picked it up and I said to Jinnamala, one of the wonderful artists and leaders there, what's this? And he apparently said in language something which approximates to the corms still attached to the plant being washed from the lily beds by the flooding Wawaroo represents the mangalili essence of fetal spirits tumbling towards life as the birth waters flood. Wow. Now, this is the kind of unbelievable poetry and knowledge that these people have.
Well, it's interesting to compare that and your own art to a book I noticed you have here on the table, which is Joseph Banks' Florilegium, in terms of people interpreting the flora, and also you're talking about this supermarket. Yes. When Banks or Parkinson, I guess, did these illustrations, they probably didn't see a supermarket, did they? But they saw some of the same plants.
Yes, and what's exciting is the Banks' Florilegium, which the final lot of sets of 700 engravings was only recently... After 200 years, isn't it right? They printed it, and it's got quite a lot of the same plants illustrated as I was painting with Mulkan.
So let's just have a look at one here. So we're opening up the recent edition, which has actually just been freshly put out with David Mabberley, who was once a director of Sydney Gardens, is partly involved in this.
You're right, yes. What I'd like to do is show you this beautiful engraving of Clerodendron floribundum.
Right, lovely, beautiful, sort of whispery flowers. It's in the mint family, but it doesn't really look much like a mint.
Oh, is it? Because it's a really interesting plant. And so when I found it, come over here and see the painting I did on it.
I've got Parkinson's one there, just so I keep it in mind, yes.
Yeah. And so here we are over here. Here's mine, which I've called, which I thought I'm trying to write a song, which goes like this. The title of this is Clerodendron in the Monsoon Rain.
That's it, or does it keep...
That's as far as I've gone.
It's and good so far. Now, I know that at the opening this evening, you've got a special treat in mind for your audience. So there's a bit of audience participation, which always scares the whatevers out of me. But you're going to show me, aren't you, what you intend to do?
Yes, I'll give you a very quick potted version. Several of them are actually going to engage with me and make a painting about beetles. And I'll first of all explain that they're going to do the same kind of things as I do. And that's to say, an artist, as the Buddhists say, who is going to paint a cicada, has to feel their way in to the life world of the cicada. There's several wonderful Buddhist poems saying that in order to paint a cicada, you have to become a cicada. Now, what I do all the time is...
This is sounding a little bit Kafkaesque for me, but do go...
Well, I actually did act the part of Kafka at the Royal Opera House in a disastrous play. Yeah. Now, on the table here, there is this mass of fascinating winding lines, and here you see where the eggs were, and then the mysterious way the eggs hatch out, and there's little larvae grubs.
Okay, so it is like a spaghetti, little thin, they're all very thin lines and little cross lines. That's where the eggs are, is it? Those little connections.
Just there. Yes, that's right. And then along here, they get bigger and bigger. Do you see how the grub is getting bigger and bigger and bigger?
Yep.
And always running parallel, never crossing over. And then here is where it turns into a pupae or a chrysalis. And as you know, that life cycle figures in a lot of the great religions, so that beetles, scarab beetles in ancient Egyptian frescoes, and all manner of different religions, because it's such a magical sequence of regeneration, isn't it? I call it cycles of eternal return, or Mircea Eliade did. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do now...
Right, I'm ready.
...is here are about 20 beetles of the kind that you'd know that infest your trees in the botanical gardens.
Right. And now these are beetles you've drawn onto bits of paper rather than real beetles, just so...
Yes, they're tiny little etchings of beetles. Now, what I want you to do, Tim, is to see which beetle attracts you that you can feel sort of part of, in tune with. In other words, I want you to find your inner beetle.
Right. I like this little chap here. There's a couple of versions of him, but I like the little wings. He looks sort of like a cheeky little...
Well, I'll tell you why. That's fascinating you chose that. You obviously do understand your inner beetle. Now, I want you to hold it in the air above the drawing, quite high up, and then I want you to drop it. And it's going to float down, and it landed in just the kind of place the beetle would have been on this journey. And now I'll do another one.
Okay, now it's a sort of larger, more ornate beetle.
Here's a rhinoceros beetle. And so it's clear that I'm not in tune with my inner beetle today.
Because you've missed.
I've missed. But now, what I'm going to do is I'll glue them onto the actual piece of paper with all these. And I think, now this is where you'll have to, may get into trouble here, but I think that in some ways, because a lot of these paintings have been made like this, that they do have an almost mythic quality, because they are paintings of this mythic journey that insects make, and butterflies, and moss, and all the insects, And it's about, it echoes our journey. We start off as tiny little eggs. We tunnel way through life. When we're adolescents, we're sort of rather like grubs. And then we get wiser and then wiser. And then we are put into a coffin. And then we may fly out. Now, when you look at Greek vases, you'll see coffins have always got lots of moths flying out of them. And that's because they're echoing this kind of thing we're talking about. And then the word soul, it is the souls flying out of the coffin. And the word soul comes from the Anglo-Saxon cella, which means quick moving, which was the word used for moths. Now, this sounds very complicated, but do you see where I'm going?
I do see where you're going. And, John, I'm going to have to leave you to finish off the painting because I love... It's fascinating to talk with you always, and I sort of half get what you're talking about with the Beatles. My poor scientist brain is working overtime. But I do love the artwork and the many collaborations, not only with your fellow artists, but with nature as well. John, thank you very much, as always.
Thank you so much, Tim.
Tim Entwistle, his inner beetle secured, talking there with John Wolseley. Look, check it out, The Life of Inland Waters. It's John's exhibition, Australian Galleries, Collingwood, Melbourne, 20 May is the closing date. Now, there's a book to accompany an exhibition that we'll be touring from late 2018. The book is Middawa Harvest, The Art of Mulkin Wirrupunda and John Wolseley. Look out for that one.